Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to probably preach every Sunday morning this month on the Christmas story, some aspect of the Christmas story. And talking to Gerald Clanny, and I said, you know, I've been preaching for over 40 years and, you know, pastoring for 30 of those years. And that's a lot of Decembers. That's a lot of Christmas messages. And but, you know, it's just remarkable to me that every time it comes to this part of this, I'm not saying we don't repeat some things. You know, folks, the things that are best received and the best learned are the things that are repeated the most. And so I'm never afraid of repetition. And so some of the things we say probably every year, but it's amazing these stories and the things that God will bring out to you. Fresh, new. Folks, this is a living book. Okay, the Word of God is quick. You know what that word quick means? It means it's alive.
Yes, sir.
It's a living book, living words. And there's just something about going through it and to it every single year and God speaking to us. So let's all stand. What did I tell you? Matthew 1. And let's look at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. And by the way, he could have, Old Testament law, he could have. But I appreciate his kindness. At this point, he doesn't understand what's happening. At this point, I'm sure he's very devastated. You know, you get the news, somebody that you're espoused to marry is found with child. And so, but, you know, even listen, if you have an option to react in the hardest way or the softest way, let me ask you this. If it's you that's done the wrong, which one do you want?
All right. Good.
And so why don't we treat people the way we'd like to be treated, you know? And I appreciate Joseph. By the way, we'll talk about Joseph and Mary. Now, this is going to be so confusing. You're going to think I'm talking about the Yoders. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to change this. You know, I'm going to say things about Joseph of the Bible that's certainly not true about Joseph here, you know. Everything I say about Mary, you can count on it. Mary Yoder, she's the same. It'll be, but Joseph, folks, don't get confused, all right? I'm going to do the best I can, all right? Was minded to put her away privily. Verse 20. Think about this, while he thought on these things. Gentlemen, you know, when you're going to make a big decision, why don't you just take the emotion out of it?
Right,
the dumbest things that people do are the things they do before they take time to think. Listen, dumbest things people say, they say because they didn't take time to think. And meditation will save you from so many mistakes in life. And so, you know what he did? He just got before the Lord. And you know, he's just trying to sort it out. And he just, you know, it's in those times of meditation, a lot of times, that the Lord begins to speak to us. And so while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Remember Sunday school hour, you talk about hard sayings? Okay, sometimes God's going to tell you something and it just doesn't make any sense. What are you going to do? Many walked away. Joseph, come on. We know the story. Okay? We're not living it. He's living it in the moment. And so the angel of the Lord says, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. And then I wonder about Joseph. And I wonder if he's heard that in the synagogue. And I'm sure that he's probably had it covered at some time because, you know, they were all about looking for the Messiah. And I think about that moment. You know, I've heard that growing up. And I know that that's going to happen. But it's happening to her. It's happening now. And the word of God was sent to him to help him. I'm gonna preach this morning on this. Extraordinary faith. I think if you look at these two people, Joseph and Mary, you've got to walk away and say they were people of extraordinary faith. And so, verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not. You know why? Because the Savior is supposed to be born of a... Knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Lord, I'm so thankful, dear God, that you created us with the capacity to place our faith in what we choose to put our faith in. And we see a lot of times people put their faith in the wrong thing. And the Lord, placing our faith in the right thing is a choice. It's not something that's forced upon us, but it's a choice we must make. And Lord, I'm thank you, dear God, for saving faith. The day that a person decides to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and understand the gospel and say, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to receive it. And then, Lord, we enter into a realm of living faith. And the just shall live by faith. Four different times. The just shall live by faith. So it's not just something that we need in salvation. It's something we need in life. But Lord, all around us from time to time, even within this church, wow, I've just seen moments of extraordinary faith. And certainly we're going to be able to look at Joseph and Mary, and we're going to be able to see that today. And Lord, help us to be a people of extraordinary faith. Help us to desire that, to determine to be that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing, folks. I appreciate it so much. What a story. What a story. Extraordinary faith. Okay. The word of God came to Joseph. What is he going to do with it? Is he going to believe it? Is he going to trust what the angel said? Is he going to go along with God's plan? Even though it doesn't make a lot of sense. Even though he maybe doesn't understand it all. Now think about that. I love to be around people of extraordinary faith. And by the way, they walk the earth today. There's people in our midst. I'll just tell you, I was thinking of Isaac and Laura this morning. I just going down through the directory. And I think they've always had good faith. But I watched when little Case came into the world, and I watched extraordinary faith. And folks, there's going to be things that come. Okay, I'm looking around at our newlyweds, and I'm so happy for you. I can't look at you without smiling, and I'm so thankful that you're here. And I pray for you. And you know what? When I was newly married, and come on, me and my wife, me and Cheryl, you know, I mean, we had no idea. And you have no idea. Some of the things that God may require of you, may ask of you. And, you know, you're going to have an opportunity from time to time. You know, do I face this situation faithless? And some situations are going to require, come on, extraordinary faith. Okay, so here's some good examples. I think Joseph and Mary, remember, of the Bible, Joseph and Mary. I'm going to have fun with this all morning, so amen. He dressed up for it. He must have known. He's got his red bow tie. He's sporting his red bow tie. He's ready to take on anything the preacher has. Dish it out. Come on. Joseph and Mary definitely fit this category. I brought a book that is called The Childhood Years of Jesus Christ. And it's one of my favorite books that I've written. And I'm going to reference and read to you a little bit. Okay. We'll start on page one. It's got 111 pages and it will be here a while. But The Childhood Years of Jesus Christ, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Just to take that first 12 years. And it starts with two people. I've got an entire section in here entitled The Man and Woman Beside the Manger. I love to study Joseph. I love to study Mary. And, you know, folks, you'll get the most out of the Bible if you'll let the people be real people. You'll get the most out of the Bible when you stop and think and put yourself in their situation. When you imagine what they went through and you really begin to have a respect for the decisions that they chose to make during this process. And Joseph and Mary is one of the, I think, greatest examples. If a husband and wife want to just say, hey, let's look at some great examples of of two married people that both had extraordinary faith, and they went through that. Watch this. They went through it together. They went through it together. And so I've got an entire section in the book called the Man and Woman Beside the Manger. And then I preface it with this. There are no perfect parents, and I talked to you about that. Hey, remember, Mary and Joseph, extraordinary faith, but Mary and Joseph need to be saved like anybody else need to be saved. And so you think about that. And then Mary, the mother of Jesus. Folks, I think there's 10 outstanding attributes. I'll just read them. Mary was a lady of moral integrity. And it is somebody I could take up to our young people and say, man, look at her. Live like her. Be like her. She wasn't perfect, but be like her. She was a lady of moral integrity. You know what? She was allowed to be someone God could choose to use to bring forth the Christ child because she chose to remain a virgin. Okay, so moral integrity. She was a lady who secured divine favor. That angel showed up and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And folks, salvation is not earned. Salvation isn't earned. Salvation is free. But you know what? If you want the favor of the Lord, you better study what the Bible says you need to do to gain that favor. And so she was a lady who secured divine favor. Mary was a submissive lady. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Wow. We'll talk about that. What? That's extraordinary faith. Angel comes. We're going to get to it. Angel comes. Luke chapter 1 explains what's happening. And she's like a deer in the headlight. Can you imagine? And yet, at the end of listening to it, she asked a question. She went, it's okay to ask questions. You ever question God a little bit? Don't leave me up here by myself. You know, sometimes I'll question God a little bit, but when it comes right down to it, whatever he says, I want to have this attitude, be it unto me according to thy word. Okay? A lady of praise and worship. I mean, we got an entire section of Luke chapter 1. She just burst out into praise unto God. A lady of meticulous obedience. And 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. It's in the law. We're going to do it according to the law. We're going to raise this child according to God's precepts. So she was a lady of meticulous obedience. She was a lady of quiet contentment. She was a noble mother. A noble mother. Well, so much in this. She was a lady of great faith. Mary was a lady faithful to God's house. Mary was a lady of spiritual meditation. And life. What an example. What an example. What are you trying to do, preacher? Sell books. I'm trying to. Some of you I can't get to buy them, so I'm just going to get up here and read them to you. So. And then Joseph, think about this, an honest law-abiding man. It must not have been fun to be under the rule of the Romans, but when it came to pass that there came a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, guess what he did? He tried to dodge it. He said, we got to go back to Bethlehem. By the way, in his obedience to earthly authority, he stayed in the will of God in the matter of heavenly authority. You know, I mean, the Bible said where the Christ child was going to be born. And he used a heathen king to make sure that mom got there. So an honest, law-abiding man, a just man. You know what? When he found out, it says, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Okay, when he found this out, he said, you know what? We got to do the right thing. Okay, we can't ignore this. People want to just sometimes sweep sin under the rug. Okay, he wasn't going to ignore it. He was just, but let me say this also, he was merciful. Because again, he had options on how to deal with this. And you know what, folks, we ought to always deal with others in the most merciful way that we can. Doesn't mean we ignore sin. Doesn't mean that we don't fix things. But like I said, when it's your turn, are you going to want the harshest, or are you going to want the most merciful? I thank God. God's been merciful to me. Hey, God's been merciful to me. All right. Then you think about Joseph, a man of spiritual meditations, and I mentioned that. A man of great faith. You know, that's what we're going to talk about. Extraordinary faith. He raised from the sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Okay, God, if you said that, and this angel delivered your word unto me, and it's God's word, then this is what we're going to do. Man, A man of moral restraint. I mentioned that. I won't mention it again. I know we got kids in here, but think about that. He married her. He had husband rights, but he had restraint. Hey, we need men to discover moral restraint. Okay, we're not a bunch of hound dogs. The average man in society is living like a barnyard animal. A barnyard animal. Okay, this man, good man that we can put in front of our young men. An obedient man. And by the way, his obedience, instant obedience to God, saved Jesus and saved his family and got him to Egypt. I mean, immediately, when they said, arise, go to Egypt, immediately. Hey, why don't we just obey God? I know you're sitting there fussing, fighting over it. And if God tells you to do something, do it. A protector and a provider. And he was a good dad, good husband, a man who communicated with God. We see this. He had a relationship with God. By the way, we need to see more about this. A hardworking man.
Yes,
is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? He was known a lot of times as the carpenter. They didn't say Joseph's son.
No.
They said the carpenter's son. He literally was known by his work ethic.
Right.
I mean, come on. All right. Introduction. Extraordinary faith. These two exhibited extraordinary. Preacher, I'd like to be a man or a woman of extraordinary faith. When I face that moment, and you'll have moments in your Christian life that's going to require extraordinary faith. I don't want to drop the ball. I don't want to be a bad testimony. I don't want to have to look back with regret. I just want to say, God, if that's what you're saying and if that's what you're asking, be it unto me according to thy word. Extraordinary faith comes to us from two different sources. Number one, extraordinary faith comes from extraordinary trust. Some people just have a trust problem. Look right up here. I'm not being mean or critical. Sometimes I have a trust problem because a lot of people in their life have broken trust, hurt them. You know, it's sad. I talk to people where it's just like, I have a hard time trusting anybody. But let me say this. You can trust the Lord. All right, don't let that bleed up. Don't let the sins and the shortcomings of man prevent you from trusting God. And so extraordinary faith comes from extraordinary trust. We just read this and saw this in the life of Joseph. Verse 20, if you're still there. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of God, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people for their sin. And folks, it took me less than 60 seconds to say what was said, but can you imagine his brain whirling at this point? And he's trying to absorb this. And folks, you know what produces extraordinary faith? When you can trust God with things you don't understand. When you can trust God with things that don't make sense. Watch this. When you can trust God with things that don't seem fair. Okay? And so we see that in the life of Joseph. One of the things you see about Joseph, if he gets the word of the Lord, if he gets a message from God, he just established something. If God says something, I'm going to do it. Whether I understand it or not, I'm going to do it. Whether it makes sense or not, listen, I'm going to do it. Whether it seems fair or not, I'm going to do it. If God said, listen, folks, you say, preacher, well, I haven't had an angel of the Lord appeared unto me. You've got the words of God. You got the words of God. You know, extraordinary faith causes you to face circumstances. And the first thought you should have when you face a circumstance, you should go through the index of your mind of all of the scripture that you know and say, how am I to scripturally respond to this moment? Now, folks, think about that. You know, that's a mental process. Remember soul, mind, heart, will? You know, folks, we need to start with this. Listen to me, not this. Now, a lot of times you face something and the first reaction comes from where? Because the heart is the seat of emotion and we have an emotional reaction to something. But remember, while he thought on these things, And you know what? I get it. You know, sometimes something comes out of the blue or something, you know, just rocks your entire existence. And all of a sudden that phone call changes everything. And it's very easy. And by the way, I say this, always be merciful to people. You know, when something tragic happens, I never put a person on judgment on their first initial reaction. We're human. Okay? And I don't even know what Joseph's first initial reaction is. But I know this, while he thought on these things. And at some point, you know, if we just react emotionally towards things, we're going to get a lot of things wrong. And so he stopped and he thought. And as he was trying to figure out biblically how he was supposed to handle this, that's when clarity came from the Lord. That's when God shared some things with him that he needed to know. Now, folks, listen, that's great. But are you going to trust what he said? I mean, there's going to be, I'll talk about this in a minute, there's going to be a lot of people in the family that don't believe this. Come on, there's going to be a lot of neighbors. Okay, folks, listen. Gossip didn't start and was invented in Jasonville. Although I think it has found a good home here. As long as people have lived and existed, people have jumped to conclusions. People have looked at a situation not understanding what God was doing. And by the way, spoke things that were wrong and unfair. I don't want to be in that group. Are you listening to me? I don't want to be in that group. If you want to be on the gossip train, be on the gossip train. You'll never see me there. I don't buy a ticket on that train. Okay? It'll help some of you just get off that. Okay? You're in emotional turmoil all the time. You know why? Because you talk to stupid people about stupid things. And half of what you hear and see on social media is about half the truth, if that. And I'm sorry. It's too much to do. Yeah, I don't know where the next gossip meeting is, but I won't be there. Why? I'm busy serving God. I'm busy helping people. Okay? I'm always going to think the best. Look right up here. Well, you can be wrong sometimes. I know. By the way, you thinking the worst, you're going to be more wrong more times than I am.
Right.
So why don't we give people the benefit of the doubt? Again, one of the great lessons in life is before you judge a situation, you know what, trade places with them. What would you want people saying about you? What would you want people thinking about you? Okay. And so just be careful. You know, just be careful. So now Joseph, here it is. What are you going to do about it? I understand the initial reaction. I understand saying, I got to do something. I understand saying, I got to follow the law of God. Because obviously she's been unfaithful. Obviously she's been immoral. And so then he began to think on these things. And then God gives him an extraordinary explanation that it would take a lot of faith to believe. It would take a lot of faith to believe it. And so, but God shared his word with Joseph. Now, Joseph, what are you going to do? Now, folks, listen to me. I can't emphasize enough the importance of this book. You need to intimately know this book. You need to intimately know this book. Because this book is filled with principles and precepts that will help you to respond correctly to anything that you face in life. Anything that you face in life. You know, sometimes people say, it's almost a cliche, Bible has the answer. Bible has the answer. Look right up here. It does. It does. And so, think about the trust, though. Okay, he gets up. He's been thinking about these things. God gives him his word, explains the situation. But wait a minute. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'll show you what he did with it. Verse 24, and Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Now, come on, stop, hard stop. Let's look at Joseph. That's my hero right there. Wow. Don't make sense. Isn't going to make sense. People are going to criticize. People are going to jump to conclusions. You know, people are going to... part of it. You know, other people are not always going to understand God's working in your life. People are not always going to understand, come on, especially Christians that don't really know the book, but have a humanistic viewpoint of Christianity, a fleshly viewpoint of Christianity. Well, we're Christians. We don't get that. So understand that. Now, what about Mary? All right, Luke chapter 1. Extraordinary. It starts with extraordinary trust. Joseph, are you going to trust the Lord? Come on. What's the verse? Trust in the Lord with
all thine heart.
All thine heart. And lean not to thine own. I don't think Joseph understood this. I mean, he hears it, but are you sure? What? I mean, I know this is going to happen at some point. The Old Testament says it, but now? Us? What? Her? Okay, so, by the way, God, look, watch this. Husbands, wives, please listen to what I'm going to say. I love to see the fact that God's working in Joseph's heart, and he's also at the same time working in Mary's heart. Aren't you glad? You know, how many times have God been working in my heart about something, and I finally get to the point where I feel like I need to talk to my wife about it, and her first words are, yeah, God's been dealing with me about that. God's been working my heart about that. God's been kind of preparing me for that. I kind of sense that. And that's wonderful. You talk about, I mean, the couples in the Bible that just lived a life of extraordinary faith. They, both the husband and the wife, please listen to what I'm saying. I'm not critical. But I've watched husbands try to live a life of extraordinary faith where a wife does not want to. And I've watched wives try to live a life of extraordinary faith when a husband doesn't want to. And that's hard. That's frustrating. Hey, man, get on the same page. Okay, just decide. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord. And so extraordinary faith comes from extraordinary trust. And then you got Luke chapter 1. Oh, I can read the whole story, but verse number 26. It's pretty amazing. And in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man. That's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Come on, just another couple. Come on. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are like this at this time. Just another young couple making wedding plans. You know, looking forward to the big day. You know, committed to each other, promised to each other, just not married yet. And then all of a sudden, God's going to completely rock her world. Okay, so what are you going to do, Mary? What are you going to do? To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in unto her. Here again, folks, he's delivering the words of the Lord, the message of the Lord. You're not going to see an angel of the Lord's not going to appear to you, but you have him right here. Okay? And this is more sure. According to Peter, more sure than if you come to me next week and say, hey, preacher, an angel appeared to me. Well, I'll tell you this, if the angels that appeared to you said anything opposite of this, let God be true and every angel a liar. Because the Bible says, try the spirits. Try the spirits. Not every spiritual influence that comes to your life is a spirit sent from God. There's many spirits. Okay? I'm never going to get through this. Great introduction, though. The angel came in unto her. I think you're getting it. Man, I don't want to drop the ball. A few times in your life, young couples, a few times in your life, God's just going to come and he's going to rock your world with something. And then he's going to, through his word, explain to a certain point what you need to know or what you need to trust him with. Okay? And so, I'll get to it. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I think I would be too. This is a real person, real young lady. Come on, all you late teens, 20-somethings, put yourself there. I'd be troubled at his saying too. Cast in her mind. Think of that. What's that mean, cast in her mind? It means What in the world is going on? Just things that Joseph experienced. Something that you could say in about 30 seconds in his mind.
Right.
All right. What manner of salutation this should be? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive, and in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Probably 30 seconds. And yet, wow. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I asked you earlier, you know, is it wrong to question the Lord? She wanted some clarification. Nothing wrong with that. And said Mary to the angel, okay, you know, how can these, what, I'm going to what? Okay, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, I'm sorry, but you know what? I don't understand that. I don't think she understood. So the Holy Spirit's involved, and somehow I'm going to be overshadowed by the Most High, and God in a miraculous way is going to place Jesus inside of me. Okay, Mary. What's she going to do? I mean, come on, the Word of God's come to you. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about all of a sudden, just come on. What is Joseph going to think? What is my parents going to think? What is this community going to think? What is my extended family going to say? I mean, the news is going to sweep everywhere. And even if we try to explain it, they're not going to believe. Most people are not going to believe this. Right. Sure. Wow. Now, come on. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I love this. And so he goes on down and says, verse 36, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and in the sixth month with her," this is the sixth month with her, "who was called barren." Listen, watch this. Well, this is God's explanation sometimes. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now, Mary says this. Behold, I love this. Woo! This is her answer. Okay, Mary, there you go. That's the plan. God's word's spoken to you. God's told you what's going to happen. What are you going to do with it? "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, if you want extraordinary faith, folks, you're going to have extraordinary trust. You're going to have to face things the right way. You're going to have to, I get it, have the initial emotional reaction. But come on, at some point, you know what? As he thought upon these things, you're going to get before the Lord. You're going to have to go through what the Bible says. You're going to have to go through the catalog of your mind. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to bring up Bible principles and verses that you had forgotten about, but you need right then. Come on, he'll do it. You need to listen to the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then you need to obey the word of God and say, how should I react scripturally to the thing that we're facing right now? And folks, that takes extraordinary faith, takes extraordinary trust. I already quoted it, but God tells us, trust the Lord with all thine heart. And a lot of times we're not going to understand. Lean not to thine own understanding. God often does things without explanation. He does it purposefully. I always say this, but I want to say it again. It occurred to me a couple years ago. I just can't get away from it. If we understood, we wouldn't have to trust. If we understood, we wouldn't have to trust. So God a lot of times withholds the understanding and sometimes just says, trust me. Yeah, but I don't get this. Trust me. But it doesn't seem fair. Trust me. But I see nothing but bad. Trust me. Trust me. In that moment, if you want to respond with extraordinary faith, you're going to have to trust God when you don't get it.
Yes.
When you don't understand it. Extraordinary faith comes from extraordinary trust. I said two things. 2-point outline? Wow. You said, I hope. Extraordinary faith, listen, comes from extraordinary trials. Think about this. All right, I'm going to cover it real quick. What are they going to face now as a couple?
Yeah.
The shared trial of loose gossip?
Yeah, right.
The shared trial of financial pressures?
Good.
You know, for the most part, Jesus was raised in poverty. They were not a rich family. They were a poor family. The shared, I want to use the word shared, okay? Are you guys, come on, husband, wife, are you going to do this together? Are you going to do it together? Okay, because you know what? Trials that come into your life can drive you apart or drive you to each other. And everybody's got to decide, okay? So the shared trials of an unexpected long trip, all of a sudden now they got to go to Bethlehem. And she's pregnant in the shared trial of showing up there. Listen, I know this seems, come on, again, put yourself there. You show up, your wife's literally at the point of delivery. You're trying to find a room anywhere, and they say there's no rooms. But somebody finally says, you know, you can use my barn. And folks, as crazy as that is, please listen to me. They have that to forever memory. What seems so hard at the moment? Do you realize looking back, you're going to look at each other and the two of you are going to understand something that you face together that nobody else in the world will probably get.
Good.
If I want extraordinary faith, I want extraordinary faith. Well, then you ought to have extraordinary trust. But I want to know why. Then you're never going to have extraordinary faith. Well, I want extraordinary faith. Okay, then God's going to send some extraordinary trials. Well, I don't want to face the trials, then you're never going to have extraordinary faith. So together, shared trial of loose gossip, shared trial of financial pressure, shared trial of an unexpected long trip, the shared trial of trying to have a baby delivered in a barn, the shared trial of an unexpected trip into Egypt. Now it's not you just left your hometown, now you've left your country. And you got to go to a foreign country, and he's got to scrape out a living. He's trying to take care of his family. The shared trial of protecting their son from people that are determined to kill him. And they had to live all this. Okay, it's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. This happened. They had to do it. But they did it together. They did it together. So, folks, extraordinary faith comes from extraordinary trust, but it also comes from extraordinary trial. So if you want, listen, do you want extraordinary faith? Think about this. Do you? Then understand this. Paul, I want you to highlight this one sentence in your mind. Extraordinary faith is birthed in the midst of extraordinary trials. That's where you're going to have it. That's where you're going to get it. That's where you're going to learn it. Shoo. Come on, me and this little lady over here, 41 years. We had no idea what we were signing up for. There's things we went together, we've gone through together that honestly, we don't even try to tell people. You know what, and we don't really want to, because it's ours. But I know this, God saw us through it. Okay, and in hindsight, what do you talk about? What are the greatest memories? It's when God came to you in an extraordinary time of testing and God took your faith and grew it and you didn't get it, but now later on you look back and say, I'm sure glad I didn't quit church. Sure glad I didn't lose my testimony. Sure glad I didn't let this drive us apart. And my list is different than your list. I'm not going to give you my list. And you know what? You don't need to give me your list. But I promise you this. Everything God's put you through, husbands, wives, listen to me, kids that are involved in the family, it should bring the family together, not tear the family apart. Okay? And so, in conclusion, which allows me to sneak in a third point, extraordinary faith results in extraordinary togetherness. Shared trust. Come on, we both decided we're just going to trust the Lord. Shared trust during severe trials results in steadfastness and togetherness. Now think about that. Joseph and Mary experienced all these things together. What? The loose gossip. You don't think she came home in tears sometimes? You don't think he came home mad? I don't know. Joseph maybe got in a fist fight or two. I probably would have. They talk about my wife. I don't know what they faced, but they faced it together. Trials of financial pressure. I don't know how we're going to make it. And God wants us to go to Egypt, and then they say, you know, those wise men brought some things. Gold? What? Last time I checked, it's worth something. No matter what God asks you to go through here, they literally got the clothes on their back, whatever they can pack, and to grab a newborn baby and head into Egypt. And all of a sudden, how are we going to make it? Well, we got some frankincense, it's worth something. Got some gold, that'll get us through for a while. We got some myrrh. I have no idea what to do with that. Oh, by the way, don't worry, honey. Watch this. Don't worry, honey. I brought my carpenter tools. We'll work our way through it somehow. You listen to me? We'll work our way through it somehow. Honey, we're going to work through this. How? Together. You know what brings a closeness, not just into a couple, not in a family. You know what brings, come on, church, a closeness in a congregation? It's not when the devil launches an attack or the devil causes something and it causes division. The Bible says that one of the things that God hates is people that sow discord among the brethren. And so when we face something as a church, it ought to draw us together, not tear us apart. You know, there's been times when this church needed, come on, and the pastor needed people to exercise extraordinary faith. Well, preacher, I don't understand this. Look right up here. I'll look at you and say, I don't either. Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem fair. I agree. Yeah. Right. Where are we going to be? And how's this going to work out? I don't have the faintest idea. All I know is God said this. There we go. Now I'm going to do what God says. Woo, think about that. Couples who have an extraordinary togetherness. Come on, folks. I say this. I couldn't have always said this as a man. Come on, ladies, men, be honest. But you know, me and my wife at this point, we don't do everything great, but we do marriage great. We do marriage very well. But it's taken 41 years of, what are you going to do? You're going to do this? You're going to do this? Okay? Churches who have extraordinary togetherness do so because of extraordinary trust and extraordinary trust. By the way, some of you are going to have to learn just trust your pastor. Stop trying to pastor from the pew. There's some things you think you understand that you don't get. Some of you are stuck on stupid. You need to listen. Stop talking and listen. Okay, are you going to listen and learn? Or are you just going to talk and teach? Listen. Okay? Think about it. Families who have extraordinary togetherness. I mean, a nation. We're done. But what has drawn our when we had those moments of patriotism, where it was always in a moment of extraordinary trials. Now, some of you didn't live through it, but many of us of an age where you lived through it. I mean, when 9/11 happened, come on. Not everybody, but for the most part, a nation came together. Read your history during World War I. A nation came together. In World War II, a nation came together. Weren't a bunch of fools out there protesting everything. Weren't a bunch of people in positions of authority in our country that no matter what happened, they're going to use it as an opportunity to try to tear the nation apart. See what they can do to further divide it. Let's just point and play the blame game and do the name calling. By the way, that's happening on both sides. Okay, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so what are we going to do? I'm done. But what are you going to do? I know you got your trials. I know you got your heartaches. I know you got your problems. Preacher, I don't understand it. I don't understand why God's allowing us. I don't understand what God's doing. And well, what are you going to do with it? Okay? Be an example of extraordinary faith. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us and helping us. Thank you that you did give us the King James Holy Bible. We can go to in times of confusion. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the way he ministers, Lord, once we begin to think on these things. And thank you so many times, Lord, when you came in and settled my mind and settled my heart. I understand Mary. I understand perfectly when it says when she casts these things in her mind. We get it. I can't imagine Joseph. Initial reaction, the emotion, the doubt, the sleepless nights, walking the floor, trying to figure it out, trying to think, what do I do? And many of the people in this church, all over this church, I've watched couples, I've watched families go through that, I've watched individual people go through that, and then choose very purposely to exhibit extraordinary faith. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord when things are going well. I'm going to trust the Lord in the trials. I'm not going to let the trials destroy. I'm going to let the trials help me to come together. Be with the couples that are struggling a little bit. Be with families. Lord, I don't know everybody's situation. Matter of fact, I don't know much of anything. There's nobody in mine. But I know life. I know what life is. We've lived it a long time. Young couples are listening to a preacher that has done this thing, facing pretty hard things, difficult things. They don't need to know, but they need to understand that God's there. God is always there. His word is always true. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us with this sermon. In Jesus' name.